Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal-Republican, dated Wednesday, June 13, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with a headline article. It's under the banner of Piatt County. And the headline reads, Judge Memorial Tribute Could Be Scaled Back. A memorial to honor one of Piatt County's most distinguished judges is still likely, but may not include a gazebo on the courthouse lawn as originally planned. Piatt County Sheriff Judge David Hunt told the Piatt County Board Building and Grounds Committee on Wednesday that donated funds are not enough to fund the $20,000 structure that would honor the late John P. Schunkweller. Basically, the project hinges completely on funding, and we have not received very much for the actual gazebo project, said Hunt. I'm not so sure we can continue to do the gazebo at this point, but we could continue to do one of the other projects, and that would be a stone on the northeast corner of the courthouse with a plaque inside. Since the spring of 2016, a volunteer committee has been researching a memorial for Schunkweller, who served as a judge in Piatt County from 1972 until his death in 2012, and was chief judge for the Central Illinois 6-County 6th Judicial Circuit for 18 years. Early estimates for a stone to honor him were in the $5,000 to $7,000 range. An indoor plaque for the courthouse is also being considered. A bid of $21,307 for the gazebo had been obtained, and the project could have started in the spring if funding had allowed, added Hunt. He said the committee will continue to meet this summer, but at this point will likely shift its focus from a gazebo to a memorial stone and or plaque. Also on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of YMCA, and the headline reads, Before After-School Program to Start This Fall, Clinton YMCA to Bring in Y-Zone. The Clinton Community YMCA's first effort in Monticello, as it considers establishing a branch in the community, will be a before and after school program for elementary school children at Lincoln Elementary School. The Y-Zone, modeled after one done in Clinton the past 12 years, will be open between 6:30 a.m. and the start of school, and after school until 6 p.m. Kindergarten through 5th grade youth can take part. Monticello School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman said one local daycare will cease before and after school activities this fall, so school staff had been discussing how to address that need. With a steering committee already meeting to talk about a possible YMCA branch in Monticello, the Y-Zone seemed like a good fit. It's exactly the type of program that I was thinking of as a possibility, said Zimmerman. The idea is that YMCA runs the program and just uses our schools. They hire their employees, are responsible for programming, responsible for their own background checks. It just happens to be in our school, he added. So to me, to have programming where we're not hiring a bunch of employees, all we have to do is give over Lincoln School before and after school, works perfectly and fills that need. Forms are available at the district school office in Monticello, located in Washington Elementary, and online at www.clinton.commymca.org. Y-Zone offers homework, help, arts and crafts, exercise through games in the gym and playground, as well as character development, and most importantly, fun, said Clinton Community YMCA Executive Director Rennie Kluver. He said workers will also be needed for the program. Applications are available on the Y's website, and questions can be answered by calling the Clinton Y at 217-935-8307. Zimmerman said he has been in contact with other facilities who offer before and after school care and stressed the purpose of Y-Zone is not to harm existing programs, but the purpose is to fill a need for our students and parents, and I don't think there's enough capacity in existing programs to fill the need. So that's why we're jumping in here. It can also serve as a testing ground to see how much local support there would be for a Y branch in Monticello, something the steering committee that was formed earlier this year is researching. Cost for the Y Zone is $6 per day before school, $9 after school, and $12 for both. There is a 10% discount for additional children from the same family. So, in summary, the Monticello Y Zone starts August 22nd, that's the first day of school. The times are 6:30 a.m. until the start of school, and after school until 6 p.m. It is at Lincoln Elementary School. The cost per day is $6 for morning sessions, $9 for afternoons, $12 for both, a 10% discount for additional children. And information may be found at www.clintoncommy.org, or you can call 217-935-8307. Forms are also available in the Monticello Schools Unit Office. Turning now to page A2, under the banner of Police, Courts, and Fire, we have this article headlined, Man Stopped for Driving 129 Miles Per Hour. An Urbana man, whose Illinois State Police say was clocked driving 129 miles per hour through Piatt County on Saturday, had his bond set at $35,000 in Piatt County Court on Monday. Antonio Castillo was stopped by police near mile marker 172, that's Route 10 exit, on Saturday evening. Preliminary charges include speeding 35 miles over the speed limit, in addition to three drug charges, including possession of more than 100 grams of cannabis. In Piatt County Court in Monticello on Monday, prosecutors asked for his bond to be set at $50,000. Public defender Roger Simpson pointed out that Castillo has a job at a restaurant in Urbana and has other ties to the area, including family and a girlfriend. I don't believe he's a flight risk and think $50,000 is excessive, said Simpson. The defense asked for bond to be lowered to $20,000. Judge Bradford Rao split the difference and set it at $35,000, meaning Castillo can be released from Piatt County Jail by posting $3,500. His formal arraignment has been scheduled for 9 a.m. Monday, June 18th. Piatt County prosecutors say they will review state police reports before filing formal charges, possibly by the end of this week. Also on page A2, we have this article headlined, Fugitive Back in County Arraigned. A 33-year-old man was arraigned in Piatt County June 7th on charges he broke into a home in Cerro Gordo and tried to strangle his estranged wife. Todd McGee had gone on the run after the April 3rd incident and at that time was considered armed and dangerous. He was apprehended on May 23rd in Atlanta, Georgia, and transported back to Piatt County on Wednesday. He's being held on $200,000 bond in Piatt County Jail. McGee was arraigned Thursday on three charges, including a Class 10 felony of home invasion, punishable if convicted of between 6 and 30 years in prison. A second charge of aggravated domestic battery has also been filed in Piatt County, punishable of between 3 and 7 years in prison. He could also be eligible for an extended sentence on the second count of up to 14 years due to past burglary convictions in Macon County. The charges read in court accused McGee of breaking into the Cerro Gordo house and intentionally causing injury to the woman, adding he intentionally strangled her. McGee will be back in court for a preliminary hearing on June 18th. He also has a Piatt County pretrial appearance June 12th for another case that includes charges of domestic battery and violating an order of protection with a prior domestic battery on file. The April 3rd incident and his time fleeing police have also resulted in residential burglary and possession of stolen vehicles charges in Macon County. The Macon County charges list a Charleston address for McGee. Finally, from page A2, we have this article. It's under the banner of Piatt County, and the headline reads, Real Estate Taxes Due June 15th. Oh, that would be like today. Piatt County Treasurer and Collector Tim Pankow reminds Piatt County taxpayers that the first installment of real estate taxes will be due June 15, 2018. Any first installment payments made after June 15th will be delinquent and subject to a 1.5% late penalty per Illinois Statute 35 ILCS 200/21-15. The statute calls for the penalty to be assessed at 1.5% per month or any portion thereof. There is no grace period after the due date. Tax payments may be made at any bank in Piatt County. Contact the bank for their hours. In person at the Piatt County Courthouse, that's room 101, and that address is 101 West Washington Street in Monticello. The courthouse hours are 8:30 to 4:30 on Monday through Friday. Online at www.piattcounty.org and link to Treasurer e-payments or through the mail. When making payments other than online, the payment coupons attached to the bottom of each tax bill must accompany the proper payment. The address for mailing is Piatt County Treasurer, P.O. Box 116, Monticello, Illinois 61856. If mailing the payment on June 15, 2018, taxpayers are reminded to be sure their envelope has a postmark from the post office of June 15th. Envelopes with a postmark of June 15, 2018 will be accepted as a payment made on time and not subject to the late penalty. Check with your post office for cutoff times for the postmark, as the postmark will be used on mailed payments as the date of payment. Please call the Treasurer's Office 217-762-4866 with any questions. Turning now to page A3, this article is under the banner of Main Street, and the headline is Farmers Market to Start. Monticello Main Street's Farmers Market is set to host its season kickoff event from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Thursday, June 14th. Well, that was yesterday, on State Street in downtown Monticello in front of the community building, with expanded entertainment and education, thanks in large part to market sponsor Kirby Medical Center. The community is invited to enjoy the special kickoff festivities and return each Thursday through October 4th for fresh, locally grown and made products. This year's market features many of the mainstay farmers and makers and welcomes a few newcomers as well. The 2018 market season promises to be filled with variety, quality, education, and a bit of fun too, said Amanda Pankow, Monticello Farmers Market manager. We've launched a Facebook sign-up for local musicians who want to gain exposure, and we'll have some educational programming from Kirby in addition to Fusilli Tony's Italian food truck, and a great mix of vendors offering produce, plants, breads, honey, and more. The June 14 market kickoff celebration included a visit from Kirby the Derby Horse, who will greet market goers and have market scavenger hunt sheets to encourage healthy eating and food exploration in a creative way. Parents are encouraged to thoughtfully share in the interactive experience with their children all season long. A Kirby ambulance will also make a stop for fun hands-on learning. Kathleen Barron, dietitian at Kirby Medical Center, is slated to offer expert tips and will be available to answer questions from the community. And CrossFit KMC director and head coach Josh Newton will also join the fun with a free CrossFit prep course to raffle off. It is our long-standing tradition to care for the community, said Heidi Apperson, director of marketing and community relations. There's a natural and clear connection between the farmers market and supporting our community's health and wellness. The Monticello Area Arts Council welcomes market visitors to its table for arts and crafts projects, and for a chance to view and purchase local artists' work. The U of I Extension Horticulture and Master Gardeners in DeWitt, Macon, and Piatt counties will have garden and plant information to support the average home gardener this growing season. Market vendors will include Backyard Beauty, Blue and Green Photography, Boyer Homestead, Great Harvest Bread Company, Hen House Farms, Moonlight Bakery, Natural Products by Karen, New Hope Farms, Sager Farms, Twin Silos Farm, Winding Creek Farm, Buds and Blooms, and Double B Meats. Also on A3, we have this article. It's under the banner of Village of Cerro Gordo, and the headline reads, Special Postmark Set for Zip Code Day Starting on June 18th. Peggy Thompson is glad to be the postmaster at the Cerro Gordo Post Office, especially since it has allowed her to be on staff when Zip Code Day is celebrated there on June 18th, 6-18-18, the same numbers that make up the town's zip code. Prior to moving to the Cerro Gordo office 5 years ago, Thompson was postmaster at Sadorus, whose next zip code date won't be until the year 2072. I won't be around for that, she joked. To celebrate in Cerro Gordo, the post office will offer a commemorative postmark for 30 days beginning Monday, June 18th. The special artwork, done with the help of a Washington, D.C.-based artist, features a town skyline that includes a water tower, downtown structures, a grain elevator, and a train. We wanted something that represented the town. It is similar to the village letterhead, so we tied into that, said Thompson. She notes those wanting an item stamped with a special postmark can go to the post office at 313 East South Street between 9 and 11 a.m. and 1 to 4 p.m. weekdays and 9 to 11 a.m. Saturdays. Items can also be mailed in to be stamped. The cost per cancellation is the same as a stamp, 50 cents. It's just kind of a neat thing, she said about Zip Code Day. We've been working on it about 6 months to get a special postmark for it. Special postcards will also be available for the event. The village is hosting Zip Code Day activities on June 16th in order to make it a weekend celebration. It will feature events from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. throughout town, including children's activities, raffles, stories at the town library, and free music from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Civic Center. A full list of activities is available at the Journal Republican website. Now, turning to page A4, under the banner of Courts, Police, and Fire, we have this article headline, Interstate Stretch to be named after fallen state police trooper. Illinois lawmakers honored the late trooper Ryan Alban on May 28th with a unanimous vote in the Senate to designate mileposts 155 to 160 along Interstate 74 as the Trooper Ryan Alban Memorial Highway. Last June, the Illinois State Police trooper was killed while driving home after finishing his duty. Trooper Alban attended Blue Ridge High School in Farmer City and in 2015 was honored as the District 6 Officer of the Year. The number of Trooper Alban's friends who called me asking for this legislation has been absolutely incredible, said State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Mahomet, who sponsored the legislation, H.J.R. 93. I didn't know Trooper Alban, but considering what everybody who did know Trooper Alban has told me about him, he must have been one heck of a guy. This is the least we can do to honor his family and his commitment to the citizens of Illinois. The adopted legislation was initially introduced in the House, where it received a unanimous approval May 8th. Trooper Alban was a hero who bravely served the people of Illinois for nearly 12 years, State Representative Bill Mitchell, Republican of Forsyth, said. Naming this stretch of I-74 in Trooper Alban's honor is a fitting tribute to a man who gave his life in the line of duty, serving his community and the state of Illinois. Next on page A4 is this article under the banner of Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and the headline reads, Foodmobile, June 23rd in Mansfield. Eastern Illinois Food Bank will distribute a truckload of food to hungry area families. The distribution will be held at Northern Piatt Fire Protection District. That's 108 Washington Street in Mansfield from 10 to 11:30 a.m. on June 23rd. All Piatt County residents who meet income eligibility criteria are welcome. Those attending are asked to bring boxes or bags to transport food. Volunteers are also needed to help distribute food at this location. If you or your group would like to help, sign up online at www.eifoodbank.org. Click on Take Action and Volunteer Opportunities. The distribution is part of the Food Bank's Food Mobile program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to areas of chronic or extreme need. Through the program, local companies and organizations are invited to contribute toward a one-day distribution of food and optionally participate in the distribution process. The cost to partner with the food bank on a food mobile distribution is $3,000. All eligible residents of Piatt County who are in need of food and grocery product are welcome to attend the food mobile distribution. To be eligible, a household must have an income at or below 185% of the federal poverty level, or approximately $3,793 per month for a family of four. Full eligibility criteria are listed on the website. Other area food mobile distributions can be found by visiting the food bank's website at www.eifoodbank.org and clicking Find Help. And now, turning to page A5, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Sharon Collins, 70, of Monticello, passed away at 10:27 p.m. on Wednesday, May 30, 2018, at Kirby Medical Center in Monticello. Graveside services were held on Monday, June 4, at 11 a.m. at Monticello Township Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Kirby Medical Center. Anna Jean Brock, 68, of Monticello, passed away at 7:31 May 30, 2018, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. The family invites all to a memorial celebration of her life from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, June 16, at the Piatt County Trailblazers grounds in Monticello. Food and drinks will be provided. Pamela Diane Furrer, 36, of Elmhurst, died Tuesday, June 5, 2018. She was employed by Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood, Illinois, after earning her BSN degree at Loyola University. A memorial gathering was held from 3 to 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 12, 2018, at the Mackie Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. Memorial donations may be made to any mental health research organization. Condolences may be sent to the family at www.mackie-wrightfuneralhome.com. Virginia Ann Clark, 83, of Beeman, Illinois, passed away at 12:02 a.m. on Wednesday, June 6, 2018, at the Villas of Hollybrook, Monticello, Illinois. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. on Monday, June 11, 2018, at the Beeman United Methodist Church in Beeman. Visitation was held from 3 to 6 p.m. on Sunday, June 10, 2018, also at the Beeman United Methodist Church. The pastor Amos Dillman and Reverend Dr. Paul Unger officiated. Burial was in the Beeman Township Cemetery in Beeman. Memorial contributions can be made to the Beeman United Methodist Church. Jane E. Lieb, 65, of Monticello, passed away at 8:30 a.m. Tuesday, June 5, 2018, at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur, Illinois. Visitation was held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, June 7, 2018, at the St. Philomena Catholic Church in Monticello. Funeral Mass was held at 10 a.m. Friday, June 8, 2018, at St. Philomena Catholic Church, with Father Bruce Lopez officiating. Interment was held in St. Joseph Cemetery in Ivesdale. Russell Thomas Smith, 65, of Deland, Illinois, passed away at 5:15 p.m. June 8, 2018, at Farmer City Rehab and Health Care in Farmer City, Illinois. Services were at 10 a.m. Tuesday, June 12, 2018, at the Weldon United Methodist Church, with Reverend C. Don Farrell officiating. Burial followed at Deland Cemetery in Deland. Visitation was from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday, June 11, 2018, at Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Memorials may be directed to the Alzheimer's Association. And now, returning to the news and views, on page A7, we have this announcement, and it says BMET Cleanup Day. That's Saturday, June 23, 2018. That is next Saturday. Pickup begins at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's curbside pickup. All items must be out at curbside the night before pickup. Trucks will go down the streets only one time. Bulky items should be placed at the curb. Loose items need to be bundled or containerized. Construction materials must be bundled, cut to less than 5 feet in length, and weigh less than 50 pounds per bundle. Any questions about unacceptable items, please call 800-935-5652. That pickup or cleanup day is Saturday, June 23rd. Our next article is under the banner of Piatt County, and the headline reads, County Hopes House Cleaning Frees Up Some Office Space. Piatt County officials hope some office house cleaning at the Piatt County office building will help clear some space in the courthouse for office space, as well as shuffling of storage to safer locales. We have numerous rooms at the office building that are being occupied by folks that we really don't know what their status is, said County Board Building and Grounds Committee Chairman Randy Schumard at a meeting June 6th. A lot of the rooms are not being used properly and or are stuffed full of things. Some haven't been there for a long time, he added. The county purchased the former Kirby Hospital building at 1115 North State Street in Monticello in 2011, moving offices from the county annex as well as providing room for non-county entities like the Piatt County Historical and Genealogical Society, which observes regular hours. In the meantime, County Sheriff David Hunt said the county courthouse lacks office space, partially because some offices are used for storage. The reason why you and I went out to the office building to evaluate the space is because the courthouse is currently short on space for offices and we're using some of the rooms in the courthouse for storage. We've got a staff member working in a space they should not be working in, so we're evaluating the space, said Hunt. Noting, a second assistant state's attorney added to the county staff last year is working out of an office in the judge's section of the facility. Voting machines also take up a second floor office that used to house the sheriff's department prior to the construction of the public safety building 14 years ago. The machines do not need to be housed at the courthouse except for times of voting, but County Clerk Jennifer Harper said it would make election prep more difficult. It does have to be in a locked and secured place, but as elections approach 3 months ahead of time, we're working upstairs with voting machines and downstairs in the county clerk's office, so we're working both places at the same time, she said. Hunt felt if some space could be cleared at the courthouse, possibly by moving some items in storage to the PCOB, the machines could move to another location within the courthouse and still open up office space. It's not my intent to move the voting equipment out of the courthouse, but I think we've got to use the office space for the office for personnel, added Hunt. Committee members felt there was currently no clear procedure as to who could use storage and even some office spaces at the office building. A map of occupants and the places they're assigned is being drawn up, and County Board Chairman Al Manette felt the Building and Grounds Committee should be in charge of authorizing space. County Maintenance Supervisor Scott Stevenson said some of what is stored in the courthouse attic should be moved due to safety concerns, commenting that ceiling joists installed there may not have enough load-bearing capacity to handle the burgeoning use of the space. There are a lot of file cabinets up there, and there's a lot of papers, and every year they're adding more, and you've got a lot of weight up there, commented Stevenson. Hunt said the first step is to identify PCOB offices that are not being used or are just spots for storage at this point. Those entities may be notified to clear that space so it can be used by the county for other purposes. He said the county is not considering moving any offices from the courthouse to the PCOB. The county in 2011 took out $750,000 in borrowing to cover the purchase and renovation of the former hospital into an office building. In other news, the county approved a $700 bid from Richard's Tree Service to remove a dying tree at the office building. It was the lowest of three bids. Committee members decided to do what they could to save a sycamore that had been shedding branches on the west side of the courthouse square. Hunt felt the county should instead consult with an arborist first before considering removal since the tree lies on nationally designated historic property. An $18,491 bid from Dunn Company to resurface the office building parking lot was accepted and will be considered by the full county board on June 13th. Schumard preferred a higher bid of $20,570 that would limit the work to weekends only, noting there are less delivery trucks and visitors at that time. And the rehab job of the 60-year-old courthouse elevator is nearly complete. After being inspected and certified by the state, it could reopen. Stevenson said that could be by the end of this week. This has been the Piatt County Journal-Republican, dated Wednesday, June 13, 2018. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.